So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now tonight in Ephesians 1, we're not going to drop the plow very deep. Because if we did, I wouldn't get very far. But as I read this scripture, this scripture and the burden on my heart for this weekend have kind of went hand in hand. And I just want to share my burden for our kids, our teenagers, with you tonight. And then pray that you will get the same burden so that you can cry out to God all the rest of this week and all weekend while we're there, that the Lord would do something special. Because we see a wonderful prayer here that Paul prays, that his prayer for the Ephesians. And I want us to have that same prayer for, I have this prayer for you. I believe Pastor Daniel has this prayer for you. I have this prayer for my family. But in the thought of my heart, when I say a prayer for our kids, I'm talking about specifically this weekend, the ones that are going to the youth rally trip, but also all the ones that are here. This is the prayer that we should have. This is a great prayer, and I look forward to digging into this with you. But Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 15 through 23. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that world which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all." And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word as we think about a prayer for our kids. A prayer for our kids. And as we look at this text tonight, we see, number one, we see the people that Paul is talking about. And as we think about this prayer, we see first the people that Paul is referencing at this moment. It says, "Wherefore," verse 15, "wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus." So this prayer that we see specifically here is for believers. This is for people who have been born again, saved by the grace of God. Now, I believe our first prayer for all of our kids should be that they be saved. That's my prayer for Jasper, Ruby, and Onyx, for Ellie, for Titus, for all the young ones here that don't yet know the Lord. That should be the burden of every person at Mountain City Baptist Church, that they be saved. But not only that they be saved. So we're really good at praying for salvation, but then I've not been very good at having this prayer that Paul has for the people of our church, for my family. We're good at praying people to get saved, but at that point, that's not where it stops. That's not where it's at. But we see here, Paul is speaking to people that were saved, but also people that were serving. "Wherefore also I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." So these are people who are saved, they're serving, they're loving the church, loving the people of God, doing the work of God. And because of that, Paul was like a proud father. He talked about them all the time, he says. Paul spoke of them often. It says, "And love unto all the saints," verse 16, "cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So what we see here is the group of people Paul is referencing, they're doing pretty well. And in reference to all our kids and teenagers that are going to be going down with us this weekend, I praise the Lord for the group of teens and kids that we have here. We've got a good group. Far as I can tell, except for the little ones that are going on the trip, everyone that's going with us has made a profession of faith. They have repented of their sins. They placed their faith in Christ. They're coming to church. They're being a part of King's Kids. They're being a part of what we do. And that's a great thing, but that's not, just because they're doing well doesn't mean we don't want them to do better. Some parents would be happy. Yeah, my kid's going to church. Praise the Lord. That's great. They're saved. Praise the Lord. That's great. But the Lord wants so much more for us than just that.
Right.
We see here the Apostle Paul, the whole book of Ephesians, he's writing to a group of people who don't really know what all they are and all they have in Christ. So they're not meeting their full potential. So we've got a great group of kids here, but we've got a group of kids. So Paul, we see the people, but we see number two, their potential. Paul saw a group of people that was saved, that was serving, and he was proud of them, and he spoke of them often and prayed for them very much. But I believe Paul looked at them, although they were doing well, and saw that they had more to give, that they had potential, that God wanted to do great things through them.
Sure.
And I believe every single one, every kid out there,
yeah,
God has got a beautiful and a perfect plan for them. And it's more than just coming to church and just, I mean, a specific, we may have preachers standing out there. We may have missionaries standing out there. And they're going to be going down with us this weekend, maybe not realizing what God's about to do. But we've got to see that potential. And that's why Paul prayed the prayer that he prayed. Because the only way they could meet that full potential isn't going to the right college or isn't getting the right job, but it is, we're going to see tonight, seeing more of who Jesus is, learning more of Him. And see, when they see who Jesus is, that'll change their whole life around. And it won't be about, well, making the most money or going to this college, but it'll be, Lord, where and what do you want me to do? And I want that to start this weekend when we go down there. It is my prayer that the Lord show up. But I'm not saying, and some people, we get a bad habit of thinking, well, we want the Lord to show up. Well, what does that mean in your mind? Well, many times in my life, when I say I want the Lord to show up, I want there to be shouting. I want there to be crying. And I want to feel it. You know what I mean? But sometimes that doesn't always equate to a move of God. I want God to, if all that's there, and God's moving, praise the Lord. I enjoy it. But I don't want our kids to get a feeling or to shed a tear or to raise a hand and it not impact them.
Yeah, there you go.
It is my desire this weekend that they see more of Christ, that they learn more of Jesus, that they learn more of who they are in Him, what they have in Him, who He is, where He sits, and what He wants for them to do. And I praise the Lord, the preachers that are going to be down there, that's what they're going to do. They're going to magnify Christ. And you pray as they do that, that the Holy Spirit speak to each and every heart of every child and teenager there to help them find what God has for them early in life. I would love to come back home and say, young man surrendered to preach this weekend. Young lady believes they want to go to the mission field. I believe He wants to reveal it young so that He can use them young. See, we get in Christianity today, we get this thought process, if we're not careful, well, the kids, they'll sow their wild oats while they're young. And when they get older, they'll get back on the right track and find what God has for them. That's hogwash. The Lord wants them to find it now. Train them up in the way that you go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. What that means is when they're young, help them find that path. So that they don't have to go wandering off the path and then stumble back onto what God has for them. But they'll get on it young and they'll live for God from a young age. We've got a lot of potential out there. And they're going down with us to hear some great preaching that will magnify Christ. And you pray as Christ is uplifted, the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit would work in hearts. And that's what we see in Paul's prayer here. Paul was praying. He said, you're doing good, but I want this for you. And this, I beg you, that this be your prayer as it will be mine this weekend. So we see the people, we see their potential, but we see Paul's prayer. What did he pray? We see here as it goes on, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul first wanted them to know more of Christ's person. If our kids and teenagers are going to find what God has for them and actually want to do it, they need to learn more of Jesus. All our teenagers, if you throw out some sports figures or some YouTube personalities or some Instagram personalities or TikTok, you rattle off those names, they'll know exactly who you're talking about them. They're probably wearing their shoes, their t-shirts, their backpacks. They have all the stuff on them. I mean, wouldn't it be something if our kids and teenagers became so obsessed with Christ as they are with the things of this world that they wanted to be like Him? You see, the reason people are not pursuing Christ and wanting to be like Christ and to live for Christ is because they don't know much of Him. See, as a child of God, when you learn more of who Jesus is and what He did for you, you want to be like Him. Wouldn't it be something for our teenagers if they got obsessed with being like Jesus? That day, you want to be like Jesus, read the New Testament. It tells you exactly how to be. Paul wanted them to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Not some man or woman in the sports world today or a high-ranking figure in society, but our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only did he want them to know more of his person, but also his promise. The hope that, and there's a lot of kids that are going to be at that youth rally this weekend, I dare to say, that are unsure for sure that they're saved. We need to pray that God make that clear. Amen. A young man or a young lady will never meet their full potential for the Lord until they know for absolute certainty that they are saved. I can attest to that fact. That is crippling. That's why the devil fights so hard with doubt, because he knows when you doubt, you can't serve. And that's what Paul says here. He goes on, he says, verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." Know it. Know they have a hope. See, that's why a lot of teenagers are hamstrung from the start, because they're not sure. They're hanging on an emotion or a feeling. I was there. Or what I said. Now, what I said was legitimate. The feeling was legitimate. The experience was legitimate. But because sometimes I would forget maybe, or did I say the right thing, I worried and I doubted. But when I got in the Word of God and knew what it said, and I began to cling to the Bible and not to my emotions or my feelings, that's when I got peace. And that's when the Lord began to really work in my life. And not too many years later, that's when He began to deal with me about preaching. The Lord wants to do a great work, but we got to pray that our teenagers learn more of His person, learn more of His promise to them, the hope that they have in Christ. But not only His person, His promise, but this is kind of a point together. Also, His prayer was that they learn more of our person and possessions in Him. And that's the whole first half of the book of Ephesians. Paul talking about our spiritual bank account in Jesus. So many Christians today are like the Ephesians. We're living. I love what it says here. This little introduction here in my Bible says Ephesians is addressed to a group of believers who are rich beyond measure in Jesus Christ, yet living as beggars, and only because they are ignorant of their wealth. You see, when we learn of who Jesus is, and we know that we're in Him, and He'll show us who we are and what we have in Him. Made me think of Pastor Daniel's message about living like the loved person that you are. I actually went back and listened to that just the other day. See, when we know who we are, and we know what we have, then we can reckon it so. And we wonder why it's so hard for us to read the Bible, to find time to do it. As a child of God, the devil knows that if you get in it, you're going to learn, you're going to get in it, and you're going to know for sure you're saved if you're truly saved. You're going to get in it, and you're going to know who you are in Jesus. You're going to know what you have in Jesus. You're going to know you're loved by Jesus, as he talked about it, and that's going to motivate you to serve Jesus. That's why he wants to keep us out of this book. But we've got to get in it, and when we do, we learn of our person and our possessions in Him. We may not have much this side of heaven. Lazarus, the beggar in the account of the rich man and Lazarus, he had nothing and was poor and living a life of pain, but he was rich. And we, because he had everything in Christ, and so do we. And it's my prayer, and I hope it is yours as well, that God will allow our teenagers to see who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, so that they can be motivated to live for Christ. And see, we need to get out of that. You need to find the right college, and you need to do this, you need to do that. No, you need to say, you need to find what God has for you.
That's right.
We need to get past all what the world says. The world says you got to get a job. The world says you got to do this, you got to do that. What does God say?
Amen.
I would rather Jasper be called to the farthest reaches of Africa to preach the gospel, and that be God's will for his life, than him to be a Major League Baseball player and make millions and millions and millions of dollars and be out of the will of God, because he'll be miserable there. But when they find whatever it is God has for them, and see, when you say those words, whatever it is God has for you, that's immediately what people jump to, and they're scared to death that God's going to send them to Africa. More often than not, he's not going to. But if that's where God wants you to go, that's the only place you're going to be fulfilled. Now, I want our kids to understand that. What God wants is what matters, not what we want, not what the world wants, and not what mom and dad wants if what they want is not what God wants. To pray that his prayer was for them to learn more of his person, his promise of our person and possessions in him, but also of his power. It goes on to say, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I want our kids to see the power of God this weekend. And that doesn't necessarily mean people have to be screaming and crying. It doesn't have to be noisy in the room for God to work. I just want the Lord to show up and deal with hearts. I'll know God's working if people are on the altar on their knees. I want the Lord to speak to hearts, to show his power, to show them, hey, this is what I want you to do, and I'm going to enable you to do it. We need to pray that for them. The devil's probably already got plans to try to distract. I'm telling you, I've been a part of it. Great services, things are going great, and random distractions that mess up the whole service. Let's pray that not happen. That's what the devil's going to try to do. The Lord's working, speaking to our kids, and then something happens. Let's pray God put a hedge about that place. That not happen at all. And him show his power. What he can do in the life of a sinner. What he can do in the life of our teenagers. And we see what kind of power is that. It's the same power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. His resurrection power. He wants to show. He wants to demonstrate that through us and through them. And that's my prayer for you as well. And for them, that the Lord help us to see more of his power, to see him work more, and set him at the right hand, at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So to show his power, but not only his power, but to show his position. See, a lot of kids today are dealing with anxiety and worry, because they look at the world around them and they think, what is going on?
Yeah.
But see, as children of God, when we see more of Christ, we learn more of him. We learn of where he's at, which is on the throne, and he's in control. And that worry and that fear and that anxiety goes away because we know that he's in control. It may look out of control, but he's in control, and you can trust him. I want the Lord to show our kids and teenagers that this weekend. His person, his promise, who they are in him, what they have in him, his power, his position. And if we'll pray this prayer, we see three things, and I'll be done. We see the product. If we'll pray this prayer, we first have an assurance. Go with me to 1 John 5. We have an assurance. I praise the Lord when we pray in his will, we have confidence. And I believe with all my heart that it is his will that every child of God, not just our teenagers, that this happen in their lives. And when we pray in the will of God, this is what the Bible tells us. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. He hears and he's going to do something about it. You're praying in the will of God. You're praying, you're agreeing with God in that. You want him to do what he wants to do in the life of our children and teenagers. Not only do we have assurance that he'll hear and he'll work, but we see there will be an alteration. And that's the goal. I love Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I believe when somebody catches a glimpse of Christ and all the things we talked about tonight, you'll do what verse number 1 is. You'll present your body a living sacrifice. You'll surrender to Jesus, because that's the first step, is surrendering to him. But then it goes on to say, it says, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wouldn't that be something? That our teenagers, if our teenagers said, I'm no longer going to be conformed to the mold of what I'm exposed to every day, but instead, I'm going to strive by God's grace to be transformed by Jesus. That's the youth rally theme. Transformed. I want our kids, our teenagers, to come back transformed, having seen Jesus. I want them to be like Job. Job, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. That's what I want for them this weekend. That needs to be our prayer. That, hey, many of revivals, the great revivals of years gone by, you know where they started? Teenagers. Something could happen this weekend that could spark something that could go on for a very long time. And that could have an impact throughout the rest of eternity. And God wants you to be a part of that, even if you can't go, to pray. Pray. Church starts at 7, the church at 7 on Friday, church at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and church at 1 on Saturday afternoon. I encourage you, I beg you, at 7 p.m. on Friday night, pray. 10 a.m. Saturday morning, pray. 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, pray. God will honor that. You're not wasting your breath. We'll know if you're praying or not. I really believe so, because I believe the Lord will honor it, and he'll do something special in our kids. I believe that because that's what he wants to do. I believe the Lord wants to do that. There will be alteration, and then the result of that will be the advancement of the kingdom of God. See, the Lord wants our kids to be more than just pew warmers that come have fun every once in a while at the church. And they're faithful to church and they carry a Bible, but they don't become a part of the work of God. God wants our kids to help advance the kingdom. I mean, if we have fun with our kids, but we don't help them see Jesus and they don't find his will for their lives, yeah, they're having a good time, but when it's all said and done, it's all going to fizzle out and the next generation is not going to pick up the torch and carry on. We got to pray that the Lord show them himself so that they'll take up that mantle and they'll continue on so that it can advance the kingdom of God. That is my prayer for our kids this weekend. And for all of you, for every child of God, that should be every pastor's prayer for his church. Because when we see more of who Jesus is, and we see more of the hope that we have in him, and who we are in him, and what we have in him, and the power that he wants to show through us, and his position, which is on the throne, it will ignite a flame in us. Like I've heard pastors say my whole life, makes me want to charge hell with a water pistol. So that's why people aren't motivated like that, because they're not seeing Jesus. May God help us as preachers and pastors that Christ be the focus of our messages. Like Pastor Daniel said in that message I referenced earlier, Christ is all that matters. He's it. And if anything else matters more to you than him, that's an idol in your life. We need to put him at the forefront, and when we see him, we're going to want to be more like him. Let's pray that our kids get obsessed with Jesus. Obsessed with getting in their Bible. And you know what will make them do that? When they do it and the light bulb goes off in their heart and brain and they step out by faith and be obedient to whatever that is God showed them, and God will show himself faithful. And as he does, that'll grow their faith and motivate them to pursue him and to become more like him and to serve him. I want all our kids to be mighty men and women of God. There was a, I can't remember who it was, but there was a Sunday school teacher years ago, I think it was just little kids. And at one point she had several boys in her class. I can't remember if it was 8 or 10, maybe 12 young men, and all of them turned out to be mighty, mighty men of God. One of which I think might have been Billy Graham. I can't remember the account, but all of them were mighty men of God. And all of it started with the Sunday school. Just a faithful lady sharing the truth with them.
Right. Yeah.
Pointing them to Jesus. Showing them Jesus. Right. You all, every person in this room can show those kids Jesus every time they see you. You may not be teaching them a lesson, but you can live Jesus before them, and they can see Him in you,
Amen.
And say, "Hey, I want to be like Brother Gene. Amen. I want to be like Brother Josh. Amen. I want to be like Brother Daniel." And when you're living a godly life, that's really what that is. They want to be like Jesus. That's what they're saying when they say that. That's why Paul, mighty man of God, he said, "Be ye followers of me, as I am of Christ." Let's lead our kids to Jesus. And this weekend, let's pray our kids to Jesus. Let's pray the Lord make himself known. And here's how he does it right here. I'm not talking about some out-of-body experience, some writing on the wall. I'm just saying that the Lord worked through this weekend. As this is shared, I pray the Holy Spirit will work in hearts and lives and show our kids and myself. I'm going to be there. I want the Lord to do something in me. I'm going to be a little selfish with that. But praise the Lord, He can work in me and all the teenagers and not be any less powerful.
Amen.
Let's pray for the services this weekend.
Amen.
We need you.
Yeah.
Pray, 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 pray. And then I look forward to coming back with a great report of what God did. And the Holy Spirit will well up inside of you and say, "You had a part of that." God's on to something. May the Lord help us not to stand in the way of it, but to get on board and be a part of it.
Amen.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to pray for this weekend, pray for our children, our teenagers, pray for every preacher that will be preaching, everything that will be done, pray for all of it, that the Lord show up and do something special this coming weekend. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege that you have given us this weekend to go to this church. There's nothing special about this church. This church just loves you and wants to magnify you. And I pray, Lord, that you would honor their efforts and their faithfulness to put this meeting on and to do everything that will be done. And I pray that you would anoint the lips of every preacher as they proclaim the truth of your word to every person in attendance. And I pray that the ears of our teenagers and our children and even the adults that are going with them as well, I pray, Lord, that you would open every ear to hear what your word has to say. And I pray as your word is preached that you would help us help them to see more of you and your power and your person, Lord, so that they will be motivated to want to be more like you, to serve you. I pray, Lord, this weekend that you would maybe make clear your will for some of their lives. Lord, call preachers and missionaries. Lord, burden the hearts of the young ladies to be godly mamas and godly wives and godly encouragements and helps. Lord, we need more people like that today. Lord, help us to see more of you this weekend so that we can come back and reflect you to everyone that we come into contact with. Lord, this is our prayer for all of our kids and our teenagers. Lord, I pray that you would make yourself known to us, make yourself known to them. Just as Paul said here, Lord, that we pray as he did, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Lord, show us your power this weekend. Lord, show our kids yourself. Lord, and I pray you would burden their hearts. Ignite a flame in their heart, an unquenchable flame to follow you, to be like you, to serve you, to find your will for their lives. Lord, I pray that you'd do something special this weekend. I pray we wouldn't come back and say, "Man, those were good meetings. I had a good experience." But no, the Lord spoke to me through his word in this way and showed me what he wanted me to do. I'm going to believe him to help me do it. Lord, I pray you'd show up and do something special this weekend. Please bless our trip down. Please, Lord, be merciful. Allow that to go smoothly. Put a hedge about every aspect of that trip. Lord, please put a hedge about, to the brakes, the wheels, everything, the glass on the car. I know there's many things that could go wrong, but I pray, Lord, you put a hedge about everything. Bless our trip down. Bless our trip back. Bless every service. Put a hedge about that place. I pray, Lord, it'd be the most Spirit-filled atmosphere we've ever been a part of. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that I look forward to worshiping and praising and bragging on you when we get back on Sunday morning. Lord, meet with us this weekend, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.